You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
This is the CRM Archaeology Podcast. It's the show where we pull back the veil of cultural resources management, archaeology, and discuss the issues that everyone is concerned about. Welcome to the podcast. Hello and welcome to the CRM Archaeology Podcast, episode 300 for October 30th, 2024. I'm your host, Chris Webster. On today's show, we talk about the past 300 episodes. Did we make a difference? So get out your Kleenex because you're going to miss me. And the CRM Archaeology Podcast starts right now. Welcome to the show, everyone. Joining me today is Heather in Southern California.
Hi, everyone.
Bill in, we're going to call it Northern California still because it's my last time. I can do whatever I want.
They call it Northern California. It's halfway up.
Yeah, we're not going to have this conversation again. And Andrew, also in Southern California.
What's up, party people?
And Doug in Scotland.
Man, do I really have to follow Andrew with that?
Yeah, you do. You do.
It's a podcast. I need to talk to my agent. I should get Billy at least before Andrew.
Dude, that's your right. Brand is your brand is being destroyed.
Yeah, association, man. Yeah. Taking my career down.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, this is episode 300. And to be honest, we haven't really celebrated big numbers before on the podcast. I mean, we've talked about like the past when we hit like 100, 200, things like that. But on most of our shows, we just kind of let big numbers go by. I don't know why. We just don't really do much about it. But I thought, just because my circumstances have been changing over the last few years, I just have been thinking over the last probably 6 months, and we've mentioned this in the last couple episodes, that 300 would be a good time for me to kind of hand over primary hosting duties of this show. It's not to say that I probably won't be on future episodes occasionally. I'm more than happy to come back as a like a co-host or a guest co-host or something like that, as the case is. But I've been hosting this show since the beginning. I've been on almost every episode. Yep, there's one of the reasons why it would be good for me to give over primary hosting duties is because a lot of what we do, Rachel and I simply can't make the recordings on the Sundays that we're doing this. So it's a good opportunity for me to take off and leave the primary hosting duties in the hands of somebody else. And that's going to be Heather. So this episode 300 seemed like a really good opportunity to do that. So on today's episode, we thought we would just kind of take a look back at the past 300 episodes and see, you know, kind of look back to the beginning, and then also just kind of look back at those 300 episodes and the last almost 12 years. It'll be 12 years this February of podcasting, and see, you know, just kind of see what we've done, you know, and feel like we've made a difference. But I did want to just kind of call out the first few episodes because I went back this morning, actually, so it was fresh in my head, just to see, you know, what those first few were like. And if you want to go back yourself, you can go to archpodnet.com/CRM archaeology, or just go to archpodnet.com, and there's icons on the front page there, and you can click on the CRM Arc podcast logo. And on any one of our shows, actually, when you click on the logo, it takes you to the show page and you see the most current episode. If you look on the right hand side of the page and you scroll down, there's a catalog of every single show in order listed by year. And you can just scroll down, and if you scroll all the way to the bottom, you'll get to episode one for any show. It's kind of a cool little listing, a little catalog. And I went back, February 11th, 2013 was the first episode. Now, I listened to the first bit of it, and I actually had a different show, and I've mentioned this on the show before, but I had a different show before this, and I sort of rolled the same feed into this show, but I renumbered the episode numbers because I wanted this to be a completely different show. So I mentioned that, and I kind of forgot I did that, but I mentioned that on the first episode of this show as a new podcast, because it was a completely different format with co-hosts and, you know, just a panel style show. And I forgot that I didn't start it over as a completely new show. I just kind of reused the feed. So the old show was just me reading news articles, and it was completely boring and I hated it. And I did it for like a year. Then I took a several month break from December to February, where I kind of retooled the show, found some new co-hosts, and this is what was born. And on the first episode, it was about just under an hour. I think it was 52, 53 minutes long. It came out February 11th, 2013. And it was me and Sarah Head, who I got her last name wrong because she had a different last name she used online, but didn't let me know that. That comes out in the first 2 minutes. And then Doug Rocks McQueen on episode number one. And we just basically talked about a few news articles. We introduced them. It was a little dry. I didn't do very good editing. I don't think I did any editing, to be honest with you. I didn't know anything about it. And I didn't have a very good microphone. And I'm not even sure if I had a microphone, to be honest with you. It was just... it was really bad. It wasn't terrible.
It was also over Skype.
Oh, yeah. We did everything over Skype for like 6 years.
Yeah. No joke. Yeah. Before there was any kind of Zoom, before there was Zencaster, it was us on Skype. I forgot about all that.
We didn't have multiple tracks. Yeah, it was all in one track.
Well, we did some technical stuff where first it was just Skype. And then I remember we downloaded some sort of... I'm not sure what we call it, extension, plugin, or something like that, where we could then record on Skype locally and we'd email that over to Chris. Yeah. And then, man, there was a lot of different things we tried to do.
It was definitely rough. Again, I didn't really know what I was doing. I was using GarageBand because I didn't have any other programs. Plus, I was a poor CRM archaeologist, so I didn't really want to buy any other programs. GarageBand came with my computer, right? So that's what I was using. And yeah, it was, you know, we made do with what we had. So it was interesting. Bill, I think you had a master's degree, or you were maybe finishing that up or something, but you had like only one kid or something. Yeah. You had fewer degrees and fewer children.
I fed one pizza after midnight one day and then it multiplied into another.
Another one. Same thing with you, Doug. Yeah, Doug had fewer degrees and fewer children. No children.
Yeah, no children, man. That's a fairly recent thing-ish.
Yeah. You weren't even a resident of Scotland yet.
No, I was. I'd moved out.
I don't know if you had your like full like citizen or whatever you call it of Scotland yet, though, or the UK.
Well, it's a residency. That took 10 years. No, I definitely did not have that at that time. But yeah, I remember I was at Edinburgh Uni and they had a tiny room in the top floor, which basically was a converted closet.
Yeah.
Which was where they kept, because I was doing GIS stuff, and that's where they had the computers, like two computers with the specialist software. So I got access to that room because I was like one of the only people doing GIS. And that's where I like did the first couple of years of the podcast. It was basically a closet and the top floor.
You had one too, boy.
Yeah, because also like Bill, you basically, I mean, you just hid in the closet in your home, didn't you?
Yeah, there was a closet I used to hide into, and it was Arizona. It had like no AC or anything. I would just close the door and hide in this, you know, little furnace and record in there.
Wasn't it like a closet under stairs or something, totally Harry Potter style or something?
No, it wasn't under stairs. Okay. But I remember the key thing was because then my wife also had to like corral and rodeo clown our kids so that they would do something else besides scream or be like, open the door, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'd have to coordinate together and she'd find some activity.
Mm-hmm. Man, for a while there, like your catchphrase, Bill, was like, oh man, the kids are knocking on the door. Like you said that so many times.
I can't respond now. They think I'm in here.
Yeah. Well, our second episode is where we introduced Bill, and we actually had our first guest as well, Eric Kanza. Eric Kanza and actually his wife, Sarah Kanza, they joined us on several episodes of not only the CRM Art podcast, but the Archaeotech podcast as well later on. But they're from Open Context, and so he joined us on episode two, where we also had Sarah Head. Russell Allen Willems joined as a co-host then, and Russell was on not as many, but a number of those early episodes for the first, I would say, the first number of years we were on. But then Russell and I split off the Archaeotech podcast when we started the Archaeology Podcast Network in December of 2014. Incidentally, the APN is going to have its 10-year anniversary this December 1st. So we started the APN just a couple of years. We started this podcast in 2013. I guess we started the APN just a year later, 2014, on December 1st, 2014. So anyway, Russell was on that first episode, the second episode, Bill was on episode two, and then Doug was also on episode two. But that episode, I looked at it online, was an hour and 40 minutes. That's before we had any breaks. There were no segments, no anything. We just talked. And that's what I like cut it down to, and with a very light editing, we probably recorded for probably 2 hours. We just would go and go and go with no structure whatsoever. Just talking. Oh man, we had some longer ones too. That wasn't probably the longest one we ever had. I don't know what the longest one we ever had was, but we would just never stop. I don't know, remember those long episode days, guys?
Yeah, it seemed like we had something to say back then. No, I think was a discovery.
Yeah.
Oh, you say that now, man. Like, if we didn't have Chris at minute 25 in our final segment being like, guys, that's it. I'm cutting you off. I'm muting you all. Like, mm-hmm. You know, we would easily hit like 2 hours on these episodes.
I know. Well, that was back when I only had one podcast to edit. Now there's 15. So, yeah. So episode three, and this is where I stopped kind of looking this morning, was where we introduced our final co-host that stayed with us for a really long time, and that was Stephen Wagner. And on that episode, we had Bill and Doug, Russell and Sarah didn't join us, but we had Bill, Doug, and Stephen Wagner on, and he was a CRM archaeologist, a project manager, crew chief from Wisconsin. And that was really what I was shooting for with this new show, was having people on from, you know, different backgrounds, different locations, but people to talk about CRM from around the country, right? People with different, again, different experience levels, different backgrounds to just really talk about stuff. And in that episode, we talked about CRM wages. I mean, how many times have we talked about pay in CRM on this show? It has to be hundreds.
Every fourth show.
Right. It's got to be. Yeah. And that topic comes up just so many times. And it's crazy. In fact, I didn't look at the articles we linked to. We actually linked to several articles in that in those show notes. I'd be interesting to go back and see, if those links even still work, and B, how accurate they are from 2013. So I'm sure they came from you, Doug. Probably some articles that you linked to. But anyway, yeah, those are some topics we've discussed over the years quite a few times.
I can't remember. When did Heather and Andrew join us? It's been a couple of years, has it, guys?
I've just always been here. I've just always
been in the background.
Yeah.
Finally allowed him to start talking last couple
of years. Now, Heather, why don't you go first? Heather, when did you start?
Boy, Chris, I think it was... God. I was a guest.
Yeah.
And then you talked to me afterwards. I think it's been 4 years or 3.5 years, something like that.
Yeah. It was at least 2021, 2020, some time frame like that. Yeah, you're right.
And then, and then we had Andrew on as a guest. I invited Andrew as a guest. And then he, you know, just stuck around.
Forced myself onto this podcast. Yeah, Heather, I feel like you were on it a long time before me, but I could be wrong. Like, I feel like you've been on even longer, just because I remember hearing episodes with you in it, you know, like just as a fan. And I feel like I heard those for a long time before I, you know, became a part of this or something. But yeah, and I think I've been a part maybe 3-ish years. I know for the pseudo archaeology podcast, it's been like over 2.5 or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that's a sign I'm getting old.
Well, we had also before you, Heather, we had Sonia Hutmacher on as a host for a long time as well. She was with us for, I don't know, several years. She was a little bit more inconsistent, I would say, because she was so busy with her business that she was running. I mean, she runs a CRM firm out of Utah and is, very successful, has a lot of work. And so she just joined us when she could, but she had so many good things to say. And just like I said, joined us when she could. So
she still does.
I'm seeing.
Yeah. She contributes quite a bit online to different Facebook groups. She always has valuable things to say.
I'm seeing here August 11th, 2021, we have an episode called Teaching CRM with Dr. Andrew Kinkella. So, Heather, you were on before that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, dude.
Maybe I started 2019 or something.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah. Because that's my first when I was a guest, right? Because I didn't come on like the next, you know, afternoon after being a guest. Like I was a guest, some time passed, you know, and then
yeah, we had to get over that first, and then kind of forget about it. Yeah,
that's a lot of pain.
Yeah, so yeah, right. All right. Well, now we have to get over that all over again. So let's take a break, and on the other side, we'll talk about the last episodes, the last 12 years, and then you know, we'll just keep doing this. So, all right, back in a minute. All right, welcome back to the CRM Archaeology Podcast, episode 300, and we're just talking about the 300 and little reference there. And yeah, we're just talking about, so we were talking over the break about some of the other hosts we've had that, you know, maybe came on and maybe didn't last as long, but they were hosts for a little while. One of those was Bill Auchter. He was on, he's actually been big in some of the other digital media circles, but Bill Auchter was on for a little while and I actually met him. You know how I met Bill? He reached out, I think on LinkedIn one time, looking for CRM companies that did stuff. And I did some cell tower work. My company did for his company, because he was looking for people to do cell tower work in like California or something. And I did a few cell tower projects for him. We just started talking and then I met him, you know, we just met that way. And then, you know, eventually he came on as a co-host. And then there was Ashley, Doug, that you mentioned. Ashley, I don't remember Ashley's last name. What was Ashley's last
Ashley
name?
Ashley Morton.
Morton. Yeah, that's right. Ashley Morton.
Arizona.
Ashley yeah. Morton. Yeah. Didn't she end up at a museum somewhere in like, I don't know, Idaho or Washington or something? I heard.
Yeah. Walla Walla. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She was at Idaho and now she's still in Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then who else was there?
Sonia
Hutmacher. That's right. I can't remember if we mentioned on the show or in the break. Sonia Hutmacher, who has been on the show lots of times, and she had lots of great advice to give as a CRM firm owner and lots of good things to say. She's still going strong with her company over in Utah, still doing lots of projects. Who else has been on the show? Let's see. Well, and it was the Women in Archaeology podcast actually started on this show because we did kind of a takeover, and I'll forget all the names, but the hosts of the Women in Archaeology podcast, a couple of them came on as guests, and then we just gave them the show for like a couple of episodes where they did a Women in Archaeology feature, CRM Archaeology based, and then just spun that off into a show that went for several years. And then I don't know if they're actually still doing a show, but they had a Women in Archaeology show for a while on the APN and then spun that off into kind of doing their own thing, took it off the APN. But that actually started here for a few episodes, which was kind of cool. So, which incidentally, if anybody's listening to this, we could do another Women in Archaeology show. The feed's still alive. So if anybody wants to just do that as its own show, I mean, yeah, we're always looking for stuff like that. So anybody else we can think of that has been a sort of a more than one episode co-host of this show? I don't know.
Not more than
a guest.
Yeah, not more than a guest. Yeah. I don't think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does sound like it's it.
Yeah. You know, one thing I've always wanted to do with this show too, and I've just never really had the energy for it. Maybe you guys can kick this off in the next 300 episodes, is I've always wanted to have a feature or maybe a regular guest co-host where they come on for, you know, maybe a season, maybe even a year or something like that. I don't know, but you know, maybe a number of episodes, but bring on a field tech, right? A field tech of maybe even a new field tech or a field tech. It doesn't have to be a field tech of a certain length of time or something like that, but somebody who's definitely field technician by job description, right? Somebody who's not a crew chief necessarily. Well, crew chief wouldn't be that big a deal because crew chiefs are still basically field techs in a lot of places, but somebody who's a field technician, because to be frank, most of us are not field techs. Most of us are above field techs, right? And we always have been on this show. And but to have that perspective as not just a guest, but somebody who can just come in and bring that perspective, but rotate them through and say, you know, okay, so now our field tech of the quarter, you know, is this person or something like that. And, you know, put something out on Archaeo Field Techs or something and say, who wants to be the field tech co-host for this next quarter or for the field season or something like that. They might have to have a few of them that rotate through, because just like host of the show, the reason I wanted a number of hosts of this show is because of the nature of CRM archaeology, right? Not everybody could make the recording every single time. And, you know, as long as we had at least, you know, three, maybe four people on, I wanted to have a pool of people to pull from, so at least 3 or 4 people could make every single recording, because, you know, you're in the field, you're doing stuff, and, you know, we wanted to have enough people to make a panel. So I think that'd be great. And I've always wanted to do that, but I just never really pulled it together. So yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Idea.
What is your favorite? So, what do you think was your favorite episode or episodes? If you have a few, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Do not say when Andrew joined our show. Just
yeah. Don't tell the truth. Don't tell the truth.
Right.
Guys, it's going to be shocking, but Chris is basically going to tell you, as soon as I started messing up the outros, that's his favorite episode.
Right.
He's got marked down on his calendar. It's basically like, and that's when the shenanigans with Doug started.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, my God. I'll tell you what. We've done so many. I don't know if I can pick a topic or an actual episode number is my favorite, but I can tell you what my favorite types of episodes are. Because, you know, we have a lot of episodes where, and there's nothing wrong with this, I'm not saying that, but we have a lot of episodes where, as the editor, when you look at the tracks and there's 4 or 5 of us on there, there's these solid chunks where one person talks, another person talks, and another person talks, right? Where we have our opinions and we say stuff, right? And those are fine. And we need those types of episodes where we have our, you know, we get our thoughts and opinions out there, right? But the episodes where, like, most of us are unmuted and we're having this really lively discussion, right? And we're getting in there, especially when we really disagree with each other. It's just like, you just can't wait to speak. You know what I mean? And you're just like, yeah, you know, and when Doug really gets in there and says, Chris, I got to disagree with you, man. And I've heard that quite a bit over the years, actually. And
yeah, I was going to say, the second place episode, Chris's second favorite is the one about a year ago when I was like, I actually agree with Chris on this.
But
again, the ones where his calendar, he knows what episode that was. Pretty sure Chris got tattooed on his arm right there.
Right.
Yeah, asked him to see that tattoo. It's like, me in quotes, Chris, I completely agree with you. The date and everything.
I know, right? But those ones where we really have really lively discussions, I really enjoy those. I really got into those because I think those are the ones that probably listeners enjoy the most as well. You know what I mean? I mean, the other ones are very informative, and that's what kind of the point of a podcast is. But I also think having the ones where maybe it's a little more levity, and not even that, but just a little more, just where we're just a little bit more excited, you know, and a little bit more into the conversation, is a little more conversational style, I guess, is the one I really get into. So I like those a lot, those style of episodes. And I think I had a lot of fun doing we haven't done a lot of these in the past. We've done a number of them, but like the holiday gift idea episodes, I feel like we really get into those too.
Yeah.
I like the Christmas episodes too.
Me too. Yeah. So those are fun. Those are fun when we all bring our ideas to that. So those are my, what about you guys?
I like the ones where we have guests, you know, and it's nice. Like, you know, I like being on the podcast just in general, cause it's especially episode 300. It's pretty cool to have been part of something this long. I mean, I can't think of any other. I'm trying to think of another archaeology organization I've been part of for this long, but I like when there's guests because they have a different perspective, and, you know, it's cool to have other people on here too.
Yeah. It's neat. I think one of the neat things about this too, and you guys, probably all of you have experienced this at this point, but I'll never forget the first time this happened. It was Russell and I actually standing in line at a convenience store in Waikiki at the first SAAs we went to after starting the podcast, which I think was probably that April of 2013, if I had to guess. I guess it could have been the next year. I'm not really sure, but it was whatever SAAs was in Hawaii after we started the podcast. We were at a hotel, and we just stopped for like a water or something. And there was a line of people in this convenience store, and him and I were sitting there talking, and somebody in front of us turned around and said, "Are you guys on the CRM Archaeology podcast?" Because they recognized our voices. Yeah. And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" Like, we've done like 6 episodes.
I think that's let's talk about that. I'm curious, because I've actually had some instances where people are like, I listened to the pod, you know, like where I've run into them.
Yeah.
In one way or another. And they've shared that they're a regular listener of the mm-hmm. podcast. So that'd be kind of fun to hear those stories.
Yeah. I mean, I heard at some point in the past where, you know, and I just don't know if this is still true, you know, are podcasts still, you know, are people still listening to stuff like this? Because I heard years ago, somebody in archaeology tell me that whether they were actually a subscriber or a listener or not, they'd either heard the podcast or heard it in a field truck or something like that. Cause somebody put it on the radio or something, driving out to a site or something like that. Right. So they'd heard about it, and you know, whether they actually listened to it or not. Andrew, you can go ahead and mute your microphone. We know you're famous and everybody recognizes you just going down the street. So,
dude, you know. I know. And then if they actually recognize me from this, I'm like, no, I don't do that. You know, no. That would destroy what I've built. No, you know, what's so funny for me? Yesterday was archaeology day here in Southern California, and like the Park Service does this whole thing at like King Gillette Ranch. And I went there and I actually have it on right now. I wore my APN t-shirt, you know, just
nice,
just for fun. And I was shocked how many people actually had listened to the show, you know, like I did not expect, because I would start to explain. You know, I'd be
Andrew, was it two? Was it two people?
All two of them.
Shocking number.
No, just as it's like a booth situation, you know, where you have booth by booth, and it's very, like it might be a CRM company, or it'll be, you know, a school or whatever. And I'm just going through the booths, and I would talk to the people, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm on the CRM Archaeology podcast. And they would cut me off and they go, oh no, we know, we listen. And I was like, wow. You know, that happened again and again. And it you know, I want to say, oh, it's all about me, but it's not, of course. It's the CRM podcast as the entity it is. So I know as we do this week by week, sometimes we feel like, oh, what are we doing? Should we continue? What's happening? But a huge percentage of the CRM world listens to it. And I think it's a really cool thing that Chris, like that you've built over the years. I think it's even more important than you think.
It does kind of feel like you're talking into the void.
I know, but you're not.
I think the one service that this podcast provides, among others, but the one that to me that stands out is that we, I think, not all the time, but we answer questions that maybe some people beginning in their career or even mid-career are too afraid to ask on their own. So if they listen to the podcast, they get some of this inside understanding. Mm-hmm. And I think that to me is one of the big positives of this podcast. And I think it's, you know, you see it on social media, people kind of joke around. Like I've actually seen on strings where like going, oh, guess this is definitely going to be the next episode of the CRM podcast. Like people actually comment, oh yeah, this definitely the CRM podcast is going to cover this.
Right.
And I think, you know, staying relevant and it may be funny, but I mean, when I'm looking for subject matter, I definitely look on social media because I want us to be talking about something that is relevant and helpful to people. Over the time that I've been on, it's happened more and more as I've been on here longer, but and especially now that I'm working across the country and I'm running into new people, I'm shocked. There's people all over the country that are listening to this. And it's happened several times where I get on the phone, I have some connection for one reason or another. Sometimes it's a SHPO office, sometimes it's another, you know, a company owner or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they start off the conversation, goes, before we start off, I have to tell you, I listen to your podcast. I listen to the CRM podcast. And it is shocking. So sometimes, you know, we're sitting here, we're recording into, you know, we're just talking amongst ourselves. It's hard to really imagine how many people are listening. But
yeah,
it's nice to know that. Yeah.
Yeah, it is nice to know.
I mentioned it in class about the podcast, and then they were like, oh God, everybody's got a podcast. And I was kind of shaking my head like, well, if you want to get an A, you might want to tune in.
And not say that.
Chris, don't you have the stats though? I mean, like, I know you've changed platforms, like, over the years we've bounced around a couple of different things, yeah. But don't you have like the stats going back at least to like when it was on iTunes, those ones going back, or no?
Like, well, as we change platforms, those get wiped out. So I can't see that. What I can tell you is, you know, we can look at the like downloads per month kind of thing. And it's interesting because as I look at those through the years, I mean, the downloads, it's kind of a commentary on the industry, really, because the downloads per month for this show have always kind of stayed the same over the last probably, I would say, 7 or 8 years, give or take. As they, you know, they kind of went up a bit as people started to know about the podcast, but then they kind of leveled off and plateaued and have never really gone up. And it stays around, I think the last time I looked, I can't actually look right now because of the way we're actually recording this. I can't look at the stats. But yeah, it's... And you can't actually either, Heather, the way that okay. we're doing this, because you'll get you'll get out of the thing. But
that was my fault.
No. Neither of us could actually. It's just the way that we're in here. But the stats, it stays around probably 7 or 8,000 downloads a month, and that covers not only current episodes but the entire back catalog as well. So, but that's, you know, that's kind of a commentary on the industry as well, right? And how many people see it, how many people are in the industry, because I wouldn't imagine people outside of CRM are, unless you're a former CRM archaeologist and you still want to listen to this, but I can't imagine people outside the industry are downloading the show. It's a very niche topic, right? And that's how it's designed to be.
Except, you know, there's probably people looking to learn like software and, you know, customer relationship management and have gotten super disappointed every time they open one of our episodes. Yeah.
I have no doubt. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so it's never like I never expected this podcast to hit the huge numbers. You know, our per episode download numbers are never reached over like 1,000 in the first few months, you know, unlike some of the other episodes that do, just because that's not how it works. You know what I mean? That's not how a niche podcast actually works. But when you look at the back catalog, that's what's impressive about this show. Its back catalog numbers are pretty high, you know, several thousand downloads per episode, because people go searching for a topic and then, you know, they find it and then they listen to it. It might be a show from 7, 8 years ago or 6, 7 years ago or, you know, a year ago or something like that, but it's still relevant, right? And for the most part, it's still relevant and they'll go listen to it. And that's why it's one of the reasons I started the Archaeology Podcast Network. I actually talked about that during Rachel and I's Instagram live that we did for the Day of Archaeology yesterday. Andrew did one for the Day of Archaeology with our social media coordinator, Tilly, on Friday. And I watched that. That was pretty good. The two parts he did because, you know, the social media, the Instagram kind of screwed up a little bit.
Yeah, but, no, it was technological glitches. I mean, it was just feed would just drop, you know.
Ours didn't even work. I actually had to take over ArcPodNet and then bring Tilly in because ours wouldn't even join. Right. So it wasn't just you.
I still don't know why, you know, but it's all weird. That's part of it. Yeah.
But if you want to see those recordings, go to ArcPodNet on Instagram and you can watch the lives. Tristan did one as well, and they're all pretty good. So anyway, where was I going with that? Wow, I totally lost my train of thought.
Consistency of downloads.
Downloads. Yeah. But anyway, that's right. That's why I started the APN. Was my intent with the APN was always to have like an encyclopedia. Like you look at it like an encyclopedia set, because we talk about archaeology. This is an evergreen podcast because of that, an evergreen network in that nothing ever really goes out of style. Nothing ever becomes old information. It's old information by nature. So you can just, you know, we have like 20 podcasts in the archive. If you go to our main page and you just scroll to the bottom, you see all the old shows that are no longer producing anymore, but we keep them alive. We keep them active because it's still searchable, good information, right? So, you know, you go into the back catalogs of the current shows, you go to the old shows, and they're still good. So I think with that, let's take a break and then we'll wrap up this 300th episode on the other side. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the CRM Archaeology Podcast, episode 300. And that's the last time I have to irritate Tom King by calling it CRM Archaeology if he listens to it. I know.
Hi, Tom.
Yep. Hi, Tom. Anyway, so talking about episode 300 in the past episodes. I literally titled this, Did We Make a Difference? And I think some of the things I wanted to talk about on this were, you know, we've talked about some of our favorite episodes, things like that. But some of my favorite experiences in this are in doing this podcast were, you know, obviously we talked about last time, just like being recognized and things like that. That's actually really cool. It's a really surreal type of experience when that happens, but it's some of my favorite experiences are, you know, when you get a message from somebody on usually Facebook or something like that. It's probably the most prominent social media part where you do get some people sending you a message, or more likely an email or something like that. I would say over the last 10 years, I've had a number of emails and messages of people, and these are probably my favorite ones, where somebody, well, two different types that I would get. Either A, I get people sending me their resumes and CVs saying, hey, could you take a look at this? Because I'm applying for my first CRM job and I'm nervous and I just want to make sure this looks okay. And I listen to the podcast and, you know, you said, send me this, and they actually do it, right? And then so I'll take a look at it, I'll give them some pointers, and then I'll send it back, you know, and then they'll send me a note and say, hey, I got my first job or something like that. And that's super cool, right? And then I've gotten other emails, a shockingly high number, where people said either A, they got out of archaeology at some point in time, and then they were out for an undetermined amount of time, a couple of years sometimes, maybe a few months or maybe a longer period of time. And they just listened to the podcast, and they got, just after listening to the podcast, they got nostalgic or they got confidence, one of the two, and they either went back to school or they just went back into archaeology, right? They went back into CRM because they were listening to the podcast, and they either gained confidence, they got inspired or something, and they just went back into CRM. And I think those types of experiences, you know, I mean, when somebody comes up and tells you that they're a listener, they're a fan or something like that, that's cool, because it lets you know, as we mentioned, that somebody is listening, right? And then we're not just speaking into the void, because it can seem like that sometimes. We don't get a lot of email, we don't get a lot of feedback, but when you get something like that, that's really cool, right? Have you guys had experiences like that you can remember?
Not necessarily that as much. Well, I mean, yes, I have had that happen before, where, you know, folks reach out and they say, I'm listening to some old episode from 2018, and, you know, I totally agree with what you were saying there, and, you know, great job for being the ones who brought that up. I mean, that's the thing that I think is most, like, motivating about the podcast, because, you know, we'll talk about stuff and then it takes years and years for any other archaeology organization, right? Because, you know, well, I don't know if Doug's already talked about this, but the archaeology organizations are not necessarily designed to do anything besides publish the journal, right? And so we're asking this organization, it's a magazine, to be a social activist thing, because it's a collective of archaeologists. But as someone who's been on these boards and, you know, part of these organizations for a few years, yeah, Doug's exactly right. They're not really designed to, like, do anything or move the needle or discuss anything worthwhile. I mean, we'll talk about something and then seriously 7 years later, someone, you know, hey, we should have a panel. Let's get some kind of ad hoc committee that's going to, you know, research this. And I'm like, well, first listen to this episode, because we already covered it like a long time ago and things have moved in a totally different direction. So if you want to pick up where our crumbs hit the ground, go ahead. But, you know, I think that's the biggest impact of the podcast, that, you know, we're talking about stuff and then archiving it. And it's like, you know, we in some ways tell the future, right? Because then years later at the SAA, they're like, let's talk about archaeology wages. And I'm shaking my head like, dude, that was episode 3, you know, let's talk about equity. Yeah, well, that was like episode 50. We already talked about that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I see that too. We are the tip of the spear on this, you know, and it's because we come out so fast too. It's like we record this right now, it comes out in like a week, you know, and then we keep going. So hey, good on us.
I think another reason is because, at least for me, when, you know, as people that listen, I'm sure know that we all take turns in selecting the subject matter. And that's my go-to, is just to go to social media. And so really, we're inspired by the listeners, and we're inspired by people that are on the ground, grassroots, doing the work every day. And the things that matter to them. At least that's, I think, what most of us are trying to aim for. And so, to me, I know, Andrew, you'd like to take credit, but always. But to me, I think it's the listeners that at least that are ones that are bringing up the subject matter that we're inspired to then record on.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I do the same thing. You know, I think all of us do. We kind of keep our ear to the ground. You know, I listen to, like, what are my students talking about? You know, what are older students of mine who are now in CRM? What are kind of the hot topics? Right. And that's where I get, you know, hey, maybe we could talk about this. It is based on, you know, what others are saying.
And that, I think, you know, that's an interesting disconnect, because I think, Chris, you were mentioning, or Bill, that, you know, people that are in these associations or professors or even managers, CRM managers that are not listening to these types of podcasts that, you know, come up with an idea of how we could improve our discipline and, you know, years down the road or, you know, way after it's already a hot topic and it's something that needs to be dealt with. So, I think it shows who listens to the podcast. I think it's primarily technicians.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Although it might be changing. You can be
almost guaranteed that professors are not listening to it.
No.
Yeah, right. And that's definitely actually the place where I work,
they are not thinking in any way about any of this stuff.
That's my point.
That's a terrible fact, but it's true.
I think, you know, for me, that's something that we need to call each other on. Because as managers, we should be continually trying to be better and trying to learn and try to understand from the other perspectives how to make our discipline better. And if those of us that have the ability to make things better are not doing that, our discipline can't move forward.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I do think, you know, as we talk about, you know, is it all worth it? These 300 episodes, did it change anything? I do think that it does bring also a sense of community to the CRM world, which is intrinsically kind of lonely. You guys, you know what I mean? You kind of go job to job, maybe you have one or two friends. During the job itself, you get other friends and you kind of, you know, enjoy your time together. But overall, there's a lonely, like, solitary aspect of CRM. And I think we help give a little bit of community, you know, where in other times it wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I'm not sure we actually, like, necessarily are a bit faster than other organizations so much as we're louder. In that we broadcast. So, like, you know, if you look at a lot of, like, how those organizations, they're really slow on the uptake, but there's usually, like, people doing stuff for years, if not decades before. And, you know, like, Bill, Society of Black Archaeologists, what's the blessing called? The organization you're a member of? Is it the Society of Black
Archaeologists? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Like, I mean, that was existing for what? A decade before, like, 2020 kicks off and like all that stuff, Black Lives. So, like, that was an organization that basically was doing really good stuff for, like, an entire decade. And then suddenly, like, the rest of archaeology woke up and was just like, oh yeah, you know, we should think about this because it was topical.
Yeah, you are right about that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff. I think the slight difference between us is, like, we're broadcasting, because you see it all the time in, like, conferences where, like, people will do, like, 10 years of the same, like, session of, I don't know, pick any random topic.
Yeah.
And they'll do it, and eventually it bubbles up. I think our slight difference is, like, we're the shock jocks of CRM. Really poor at it, but, you know, like, that I think is slightly the difference, is, you know, maybe we are a little quick on the draw to pick up some of this stuff, but I think our big difference is, like, we're not hiding it. And, you know, it's out there. Anyone, anywhere in the world can download our podcast and be as angry as any other listener at what we said as anyone else in the world. I think that's sort of a big difference, probably, is not so much we're ahead. It's just that, you know, we're open.
Yeah. I agree with you in some regards. And I do, obviously, there's plenty of associations out there that are created for the expressed reason of, you know, improving one thing or another in our discipline. And that's terrific. And I'm not, you know, trying to minimize that at all. But I do think that there's some of the associations that have been around for a long time and that have, you know, just been considered the height of associations for this discipline. And I do think that they're behind. I do think that now it seems like some things are changing. We have some association presidents that are starting to speak up about certain issues on behalf of the discipline. But I think for a long time, it's been more academic. And some of the issues that we're having now are more coming from, and challenges are coming from, how we conduct CRM across the country and how legislation is changing that. And so I think that as these associations are realizing that they need to have a combination of both academic professionals and CRM professionals in the mix, you know, that's now where some of these more relevant subjects are starting to be addressed. But for a long time, I don't think that was the case. And, no. You know, again, I'm not against academia, but you know, if these associations are hyper-focused on the academic scholarly side of archaeology, there's the whole swath of the business that is being ignored.
I think we can be against academia a little bit. That's okay. And that's coming from me in academia. That world has decided to double down on their ignorance of a lot of the CRM things. And what came up earlier of like, well, you know, none of the professors are listening to this. Exactly. That's the problem. They have no idea about the CRM world. And they've done this doubling down of like, well, that's just so dirty. That's beyond me. I just am going to use my Marxist approach to praxis theory, which nobody cares about, instead of actually facing the real problems in archaeology, which are like, hey, man, love it or hate it, CRM is exploding in size and academia is shrinking, you know, but they just won't come out of the closet and just be honest.
Yeah, I second that.
Yeah.
There's literally an ivory tower on my campus. And I'll tell you, from where I'm at, not a single person is in any way thinking effectively about how to, you know, get people prepared for careers.
Yes. You're right. It drives me nuts. But that is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Well, we've just been doing it for a decade.
Right.
All right. Well, go ahead, Heather.
I was just going to say, I was, you know, wanted to kind of get back to, this is the last time you're going to be on the show in this capacity. We're definitely going to be pulling you in quite a bit, but I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for all that you have done. I mean, you really have made a difference, and with this show and with the network as a whole, it's a whole community now, and it's brought our business into also, like Andrew was saying, it's created a community. And so we had multifaceted discipline of, it can be a community, it can be your work, it's entertainment. Yeah, you've done a big thing here. I think it's you should be applauded, and I think you've helped a lot of people that have been frustrated in this business, and whether you've ushered them or showed them a way that maybe they could go another direction, or stay in the business with a renewed understanding, definitely made a difference.
Oh, well, thanks. And, you know, that was definitely the goal, is to, I guess, make a difference and bring education to the forefront, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to ironically step back from the show was to make a more of a focus on the APN as a whole. You know what I mean? And that's what we've been doing the last probably 6 months in bringing on. We've brought in actually two people that I'm paying now, which is odd. Never done that before. Two people that I'm paying to do things for us, which is great because that's taken things off my plate. And I'm not editing shows anymore, which is also great. And we've got 4 new shows that started in the last 2 months, and we've got new things coming out in 2025, and I'm just excited at the directions that we're taking things. So in order to do all that, I just need to free up more of my time, and that this is one of those things that's going to help do that. But it's also, you know, we need to take things in new directions, and we need new hosts, new ways to do that. So I'm excited for new places that this show can go as well with new people coming in. So it's all good things. So I think in the last couple minutes here, where would you guys like to see this show go in the next 10 years? I mean, what new things do you think this show should cover in order to stay relevant? Or would you like to see new segments? Or do you think that what the show is doing, and this is perfectly valid, is what this show is doing now, like what it should be doing, you know what I mean? Or should the show be doing something different or in addition to what it's doing now, like segment wise or topic wise?
I'm just going to point out and give our listeners a bit of background into how these episodes sort of work real quick. So we're at almost minute 18. And if I had done something like this, like throwing out an entire new topic at minute 18, Chris would have been like, oh, raging in our little chat box there, wrap it up, I'm shutting this down. Oh, Chris, man, your last episode, you just thrown it all out there.
I have thrown it all out there in a half an hour. I've got to be on the road in a half an hour. We're shutting this down.
And I would have been seconding Chris because I'm his little toad, you know. I've been like, yeah shut it down.
Well, you know, briefly, go ahead, Mo.
I was going to say briefly, what I'll say is keep doing what we're doing, continue having the guests and everything. But I would like to see some more professors on here, and I would like to see some more CRM people with decision-making power on the air, committing to X amount of dollars or X amount of hours of doing the, you know, training people for the next level. Because there's always conversation about, oh yeah, we need to do that in academia. We need to have more field schools oriented towards, you know, CRM archaeology. And then it's like, okay, so who's going to do that? And then all of a sudden they're like, that was a great show. And they hang up and they move away. And then I go to conferences and talk to PIs that are like, oh man, yeah, we definitely need to have this connection with people. And we really need to help recruit people from field schools and get them out there. And then when you say, okay, well, you know, how would $5,000 work? There's kind of like, ooh, you know what? I don't really have any kind of, yeah, you know, it's not a good time for me. So I'd like to have some people on here actually committing to, I'll put 6 weeks of my summer together into doing this, and I'll recruit 15 students, and someone else say, yeah, my company and this company will pony up 10 grand a piece to go through whatever university, and we're going to get it done in 2025 or 26 or whatever, right? Because at the end of the day, the way things are going, it doesn't look so hot for CRM because they're not creating the kind of like environment where there can be functional careers for people, and students who now there's fewer of are looking and saying, I can make way more money if I just manage a Panda Express than I go into archaeology. And so, you know, when people are adding those things up, borrowing $90,000 for an undergrad degree, and they're thinking, how am I going to pay this off? You know, there's a disconnect, and it's not just archaeology, but I'd like to see some people on the air doing that and work through, you know, in 12 months to get it to happen.
Yeah, good call.
For example, right here on the air, I teach field school. Give me some CRM companies out here that are going to hire these kids, and I'll teach a field school. 6 weeks, I'll put it down. I'll do it.
All right. There you go. Anyone else?
I think, obviously, I think Bill makes a great point. That's a big thing that should be worked on and improved on as time goes on, because it's that aspect of it so far behind. But I would just say, beyond that, to just keep doing what we're doing. It's like, keep pushing that stone, you know, because all of us know behind the scenes, week by week, sometimes we're like, oh man, we need a topic. Oh man, I'm tired, you know, but if all of us and the new people who come on to this show just keep pushing the stone, because it's totally worth it. You know, it is, Chris, you have created this thing that is really, really great and unique. I remember seeing you for the first time when I didn't know you. You were giving some sort of presentation at the SAAs or something, and this was probably like 2015. And I saw you and I was like, that's the guy. And I want to be serious, right? I was like, he's doing like the coolest thing. Like, that's so awesome. I wish I could be a part of that. Man, maybe someday I could be a part of that. Right. And I'm not, that's not me joking. You know, I want you to know that in truth. I thought that, and I think I came up and I think I introed myself to you, but like in 1 second, you know, but I just remember you giving that talk, or you did a panel or something. And I was just like, man, he's doing cool stuff. Good for him. You know, and I thought that in 2015. And like, I just want to reiterate that, like, you're still there, dude. You do have this funky throne in like the CRM and even just in the archaeology media world. You're like an entity, you know, like, good for you.
Indeed. All right. Well, with that, I think we can close out this show.
We're already 2 minutes over 20 minutes, Chris. Yeah. You failed your
This is not the time for you to be concerned about the end of the show, Doug.
Chris, it's you know what? Just so I can get this in one last time, I completely disagree with you, Chris. I think this is the perfect time for me to start caring about watching the time on our podcast. You know, now that you're leaving, someone's got to do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, this is, I guess, me signing off for the last time, at least as the official host of the show. Heather's going to be taking the reins as the primary host of the show. And, you know, the show's going to continue on. And again, my original vision for the show was, it just has a rotating, you know, field of hosts, and the show just continues on as CRM Archaeology does, much like a company does with a rotating list of, you know, seasonal field techs. This show would have a seasonal list of co-hosts, you know, throughout the years and decades, and just keep going in some way, shape, or form. So that's how I think it will go, you know, probably forever. So, because as long as there's CRM Archaeology, there will probably be a CRM Archaeology podcast, hopefully, as long as we keep the feed going. I imagine the show will keep going. So here's to another 300 episodes, and thanks, guys, for sticking with it. Thanks, Heather, for taking over the show for this next chapter, and we will see you guys in the field. That's it for another episode of the CRM Archaeology Podcast. Links to some of the items mentioned on the show are in the show notes for this podcast, which can be found at www.arcpodnet.com/CRM Arc Podcast. Please comment and share anywhere you see the show. If you'd like us to answer a question on a future episode, email us. Use the contact form on the website, or just email chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Support the show and the network at arcpodnet.com/members. Get some swag and extra content while you're there. Send us show suggestions and interview suggestions. We want this to be a resource for field technicians everywhere, and we want to know what you want to know about. Thanks to everyone for joining me this week. Thanks also to the listeners for tuning in, and we'll see you in the field. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right. So bye-bye. We'll keep it rolling. For
see you guys next time.
More.
We can ruin Chris's last outro. Yeah.
No, we can do it.
This is right. Like my Christmas. I got one last time to disagree with Chris. I got to ruin the outro. Like, man, this is just ticking all my boxes right now. Thank you for this wonderful send off, Chris. It's been a great gift that you've given to me.
Rachel, just put all those goodbyes right at the end. Goodbye.
We're gonna miss you, Chris. Don't be a stranger.
This episode was produced by Chris Webster from his RV traveling the United States, Tristan Boyle in Scotland, DigTech LLC, Cultural Media, and the Archaeology Podcast Network, and was edited by Rachel Roden.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.